Good morning. For table talk, I just wanted to read a scripture here. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is the New Living Translation. The wisdom of God. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. And that scripture really stood out to me. Just been kind of meditating on that all week. And that one scripture that says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent, is from Isaiah chapter 29. So just wanted to go back a verse and kind of fill that in. And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And then just looking, I was looking at Matthew Henry's commentary. I like it. I'm just kind of nerdy that way. And it says, there was nothing in the plain doctrine of the cross to suit their taste, talking about the Jews and the Greeks, nor humor their vanity, nor gratify a curious and wrangling temper. Say that three times fast. They entertained it, therefore, with scorn and contempt. What? Hope to be saved by one that could not save himself and trust in one who was condemned and crucified? And then one other thing I saw in the commentary. All the valued learning of this world was confounded, baffled, and eclipsed by the Christian revelation and the glorious triumphs of the cross. The heathen politicians and philosophers, the Jewish rabbis and doctors, the curious searchers into the secrets of nature were all posed and put to a nonplus. This scheme lay out of the reach of the deepest statesmen and philosophers and the greatest pretenders to learning both among the Jews and Greeks. When God would save the world, he took away by himself and good reason, for the world by wisdom knew not God. All the boasted science of the heathen world did not, could not, effectually bring home the world to God. In spite of all their wisdom, ignorance still prevailed, sin still abounded. Men were puffed up by their imaginary knowledge and rather further alienated from God. And therefore, it pleased him by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe, by the foolishness of preaching, not such in truth, but in vulgar reckoning. But God does not see as men see. He has chosen the foolish things of the world, the weak things of the world, the base and the despicable things of the world, men of low birth, of low rank, of no liberal education, to be the preachers of the gospel and planters of the church. His thoughts are not as our thoughts, nor his ways as our ways. He is a better judge than we, what instruments and measures will best serve the purposes of his glory. And the reason that stood out to me is because I place a lot of value in education. I have a master's degree. I love to debate and I love to talk and I love to reason. And I can talk my husband to death and I usually win every time. But in reading this, I just see that Jesus, that God saw a different way. He didn't want anybody to be able to say that they were saved because of what they knew and all their information and all their knowledge, but that it was accepting of what Jesus did for us, that he died for our sins and he righted all the wrongs with his blood and with his body. So the only thing that we can say that has value, even though it's important to learn and go to school and stuff like that, is that it's Christ crucified, nothing else. And that is what we do here as we celebrate or recognize Christ crucified. Oh, and I'm sorry, the reason I brought this book up was just another point. I've been reading this book, Mastery, and this guy just goes down the rabbit hole into theory and psychology and all that stuff. But you know what? Even this guy would not be where he was if it wasn't for Christ crucified.